Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great Monday. We certainly are. We witnessed yesterday and over the weekend with the wild card weekend. And then more on the national championship game as well. Now that it's set, we're going to talk to our buddy Connor Riley coming up. Guy talk on the way here a little bit later on this hour as well. And we will dive back in, if you're just tuning in, to our discussion about where the Falcons need to go with their search for DC. If you missed it, they did fire Jimmy Lake over the weekend, as Mike said, as the news dropped while all this other stuff was going on. Meanwhile, our general manager spoke on Thursday, and we said this. This was probably the way it was going to play out, and it did. And so we're in the business now of looking for not only a new DC, Mike, but a new defensive line coach as well.
Yeah, now, again, a couple guys hit us up. Some folks are reviving what you and I were talking about earlier in the show about, like, yeah, not trying to make it a federal case. It would be kind of, you know, you could argue timeline-wise more interesting if you actually do make the move with Jimmy Lake and then the general manager can answer questions about it after that happens. They decide to do it the other way. But bottom line is you got to get somebody, as you pointed out, because Rabel's putting his staff together and more coaches are going to get hired and all of a sudden the good guy is going to get gobbled up.
More on that on the way. Let's talk some dogs. All right, Connor Riley, it is good to have you on. The news broke last week before all this stuff happened with the storm, and Mike and I were like, whoa, what do you mean he's going in the portal? My question to you is, did they tell him he was not welcome back? And, of course, I'm talking about Carson Beck. How do you view what went down with him last week?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, how much of an option was Georgia for Carson? I'll just say, as someone who's been around the team, as someone who's covered the team, obviously he wants to come back, wants to pursue another year of college football. I think both sides were ready to move on. It sounds sort of like an amicable breakup, so to speak, from my understanding of it. The way that this team sort of responded to Gunnar, not just in the lead up to that Notre Dame game, but I think that Texas game in the second half was kind of telling to me. And it was just, it was a really difficult year with Carson. Not all of it his fault. Obviously, wide receiver was an issue. The team couldn't run the ball all that well. But I just think that this is a scenario where I think Georgia and Carson were both ready to move on to sort of see what else is out there. And so I think because of the injury that Carson has and how that impacts his draft stock, he's going to try and elevate it once again at Miami, just like Cam Wood did a season ago. And that really worked out for him as he's now poised to be a top five pick. But when it comes to Carson and Georgia, I think both sides were ready to move on and see what life is like after this partnership.
You think there was ever a moment where Kirby would have considered bringing him back, or was kind of like, you go to Miami, because then you got a guy that's not going to be able to do spring football, and then you're kind of wasting, you know, reps for Gunnar Stockton and policing everybody else. It comes in the transfer portal part two. Or was that never a consideration? Beck was pretty much out the door.
I think once Carson had the injury happen to him and the way that that had sort of been handled in the run-up to the Sugar Bowl and how he was away from the team and away from the program, showed up late to the team in New Orleans, I think the writing was kind of at the wall. Writing was on the wall at that point. I don't think Kirby loved the way that Carson Beck went out there and handled that time where he was weighing when to have surgery and how it was going to look with him. So I think from that point on, in the sort of three-week span between when the injury happens and when he elects to get surgery, sort of seals his fate that he would not be coming back to Georgia.
So let's talk about what Mike Bobo had to say about Gunnar Stockton, because he is basically saying what? They've got to do a better job in supporting him moving forward?
Yeah, and this, you know, I think reflects to some of the issues that Georgia on the whole had this past season. It was the worst rushing offense that Kirby Smart's had in his time here at Georgia. They gave up 25 sacks. That's the most sacks that they've given up under Kirby Smart in a single season. They led the country in drafts. I know Carson wasn't always perfect this year, especially with turnovers, but the supporting cast around the quarterback was not good enough to win a national title either. And so I think going into 2025, they know that the skilled players around Gunner or whoever the Georgia quarterback is just flatly has to be better. You look at the NFL playoffs this weekend. Ladd McConkey, James Cook, and George Pickens all scored touchdowns. Those guys all played key roles in the 2021 and 2022 national championship team. I didn't see a lot of guys that are going to be scoring touchdowns in the NFL playoffs on Georgia's offense this season. So they've got to find a way to improve the skill talent around the quarterback, regardless of how well the quarterback plays or how well Mike Bobo calls plays himself.
Are you going to be able to get we talked about safeties. I saw the article you read or you wrote last week about some safeties leaving. You do have a defense that, you're going to put more guys in the league, Mikel Williams and Jalen Walker. So how good is the defense going to be, and how much of that is going to be dependent on the portal?
Yeah, I think with this Georgia defense, you know, it may not have the individual talent that this past team has, but you bring back Dalen Everett, you bring back Christian Miller, and I just think with the way that they've recruited on this team, they're always going to have, at bare minimum, a good defense, even I think this portal age where you see guys move on and they're just not as deep as they were in years past. I know there's some concern about the outside linebacker position with Damon Wilson moving on and entering the transfer portal. But for me, as long as Georgia, I think, always has a strong spine of the defense, defensive tackles, inside linebackers, and safeties, I think the defense is still going to be really good. And you look into next season, K.J. Bolden coming back at safety, you bring back a loaded inside linebacker room. While you lose some pieces on the defensive line, you still have some quality depth there that is better than, quite frankly, 99% of college football programs. So the defense under Georgia and Kirby Smart, it's always going to be good. I think the big question is it a difference-making defense? At times it was this season. At times, like we saw against Ole Miss in the first half against Alabama, it wasn't. And so I'm interested in seeing, again, with a difficult schedule for Georgia next year, what all that sort of looks like.
Connor, what about the offensive line and the recruiting of the offensive linemen that they've gone out and gotten? I know we've gotten a lot of press or they've touted how big this line coming in is going to be and all of that. How talented do you think it's going to be, and is that going to be a difference maker on the offensive side of the ball?
It's the single biggest question going into 2025, Carl, for this Georgia team. How does this offensive line get better? Because they're losing four guys to the NFL draft. And, you know, Tate Ratledge was an All-American and a multi-year starter. Dylan Fairchild was an All-American. Jared Wilson's probably going to be the first center taken in the NFL draft. And despite all that individual talent, it never gelled this season and it never played up to its potential. And they've got some highly recruited guys coming back. You know, Monroe Freeling was a five-star prospect. Ernest Green was a top 50 tackle. I know they really like Daniel Calhoun as a freshman guard that is expected to play a lot. The one thing that at least intrigues me, and maybe this is looking at a glass half full side, Drew Bobo is a more natural center than Jared Wilson, and I just think that matters at that position. And so while Drew Bobo, he's not the athlete that Jared Wilson is, I think the line might function a little bit better just because he sees the game the way a center needs to see it. And I don't think Jared Wilson, because he wasn't a natural center, necessarily always saw it that way this season.
Are they going to get more quarterbacks? You know, one of the things we talked about with Jaden Rashada moving on, and you've already focused on Carson Beck, because, and by the way, Gunnar Stockton, it's not a competition, right? Most Georgia fans just assume he's going to be the guy through spring football, and it's his team.
Yeah, I think the quarterback, April transfer window is going to be really interesting. Gunnar, they're not going to come out and name him the starter. That's just not how Kirby operates in the spring more often than not. But he's going to be Georgia's starting quarterback when they open the season against Marshall. But to your point, Mike, about quarterback depth, Gunner takes a lot of hits, and they are violent hits. And I know he got up in the Texas game and he got up in the Notre Dame game, but he can't play that way over the course of a 12-game SEC season and expect to make it through. So you're going to need guys with experience. You're going to need guys that you trust behind him. And I do expect when that April transfer window rolls around, much like they did a season ago when they went in and grabbed Jaden Rashada just in case, they're going to look for a guy that's had some real playing experience, maybe not be better than Gunnar Stockton, but can be a guy that at least offers some insurance behind him. Because right now, well, Ryan Puglisi is the backup, and I know they like him a lot, and they think a lot of him. None of the quarterbacks on Georgia's roster next year other than Gunnar Stockton have played in a college football game, and that can certainly be a little bit frightening when you look at the schedule that Georgia has to play.
What do you think about the national championship game, Connor, as we get a preview of this game coming up on January 20th here in Atlanta?
I want this to be a good game. I think really highly of this Notre Dame team. I think they're exceptionally well coached. They execute really well. They are sort of run like an NFL team in that sense. But I just think Ohio State has too much talent. And I think Notre Dame's going to be able to muck the game up a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised if the final score is something similar to what you saw with Ohio State-Texas, where it's 28-14. And while that Texas-Ohio State game was very close throughout, I don't necessarily know that this Notre Dame-Ohio State game is going to be, just because I don't know that Ohio State, or that Notre Dame rather, has the horses on the offensive side of the ball. But I'm excited to see it. I know there are people out there that are say this is a statement about, you know, the SEC not being in there and what that says about this. This Notre Dame team is really, really good, and it's an Ohio State team that is has been the most talented team from the jump. They haven't always played like it, but more often than not, talent tends to rise to the top, and I think that's what's going to happen next Monday in Atlanta.
I know at the end of the day, we know the landscape has changed and the depth just isn't there. You already covered, you know, the trenches that were always kind of the calling card for Kirby's teams. Is this the way it's just going to be moving forward? I mean, where it's you're going to have some outliers and teams that may be non-traditional, or is Kirby going to reestablish himself? Because the Notre Dame game, it still seems like, man, Notre Dame might get trucked the way TCU got trucked by Georgia. And it's and would Georgia get trucked if they played Ohio State right now?
And that's a fair question. And, you know, again, this Georgia team, I don't think enough got made of it when it was said during the season, because it came after that win over Tennessee. We were talking about the mental toughness that this team has. Kirby came out and flatly said this team was not his most talented team. And you know, he's got to find a way to get more talent. That's one of the things he does better than anyone. And in this new day and age, it's undoubtedly harder to do that, and especially as we move to a revenue sharing model. It's going to look more like an NFL-style playoff year in, year out. And I think that Notre Dame-Georgia game is a perfect example of that, where, you know, yes, Notre Dame won, and they absolutely deserve to win. I'm taking away nothing from them. Georgia outgained them that day, but Notre Dame made four or five more plays than Georgia did, and they were able to win that game, and they're now playing in the national championship. Notre Dame absolutely deserved to win that game, but if Georgia, you know, doesn't give off a kickoff return for a touchdown and doesn't fumble in the red zone, right, maybe they're getting ready to play Ohio State. And I just think that that's how college football is going to be more now in a year-in, year-out basis, where you're going to have six, seven teams that the margins are really close, and you're going to have to find a way to execute. And this Georgia team this year was not able to execute in those moments, and Notre Dame was, and that's why Notre Dame has a chance to win a national title.
Connor, with all the movement around the National Football League, are any Georgia coaches getting traction? Is this staff going to stay intact?
I think that as we see moving forward, this is going to be something, especially as we get into February and the recruiting period cools a little bit in that regard. That's something you're going to see. Last year, you know, no one thought Brian McClendon was going to end up leaving. He becomes the wide receivers coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I would not be surprised in the slightest if Georgia has some coaching movement and some of the guys on this roster, or on this coaching staff rather, step away from the program or take a job in the NFL.
Got 20 seconds left, Connor. He'd never move on from Bobo or Stacey Searles?
I wouldn't say never with Kirby Smart. He moved on after James Collier's 1 year as the offensive coordinator. Bobo, I think, is back. Stacey Searles, I'm still watching intently to see what ends up happening there on the offensive line.
Fair. Good stuff. Thank you, Connor. Tell the people where they can follow your stuff.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at KConnorRiley. We've still got a ton of off-season content here coming for you. You know, college football never really seems to stop.